You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Tina Amini.
Oh, hello.
And CJ Gibson.
What's up?
And you may notice we have another change of scenery.
We did it.
Finally.
Here just trying to GameScoop. Keep everyone on their toes. Oh,
we've exactly. Moved into our new studio space here, so bear with us. There may be some kinks that need to be worked out. If there's any sort of audio issues, please, we're still... It's our first time recording in the new room.
Send them to cjgibson@ign.com.
Gibson Films. Yeah, exactly. @GibsonFilms on Twitter. Yeah.
This guy.
Working it out.
Yeah, hope you like the new set here.
Yeah, it's cool though.
I like it.
Yeah, a lot of hard work and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's a good vibe.
TV's not animating, but we'll get that next week.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
And then everything behind the camera is just a construction zone, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not.
It's still in the works. But yeah, it's finally nice to be. There's something aesthetically pleasing about this environment versus what we were in for the last few months, which killed my soul.
The closet?
Inside, so,
sure. Well, we had that great CJ cameo moment, though. I mean, that made it worthwhile.
Was good, but I mean, besides those, the rest of that setup. So glad to be out of there.
All right, we have a great show for this week. We're going to talk about there's actually new games and a new feature update to the Nintendo Switch Online NES lineup. We have to help out, what's her name, Tiff, with some relationship advice, some gaming relationship Ooh. Advice. It's been a while since we've doled out some of that on GameScoop.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to be careful.
No, it's good. It's G-rated relationship advice.
Yeah,
cool. But first, the Nintendo Switch Lite is real.
It is.
It's coming out, what, September 20th? Nintendo announced this week.
Yeah.
A little bit smaller version of the Nintendo Switch that does not dock to your TV.
No.
The Switch that does not switch. A little bit smaller screen.
No Joy-Cons.
A little bit longer battery life. And then, yeah, Joy-Cons that don't disconnect.
Yeah.
Impressions. What do you guys think? Who's this for?
Yeah, what is it Kids. Switching from?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not.
Exactly.
It's not.
Yeah.
Switch it's life. Switching from the Switch hardware to this new hardware.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
It's just switching marketing plans.
It's for kids.
It's for kids.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because they're timing it. Pokemon's coming out this November, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's also for people who, I would say, like, I like the idea of it because I never play in docked mode. I always only play in handheld.
Same.
So a little bit of an extra battery life is pretty good for travel.
Yeah.
The poll on, we're running a poll on IGN right now that when I checked, over 10,000 people had voted and more people said they play docked than handheld. And I was really surprised by that.
Me too.
I've seen that same poll though with the opposite results.
Yeah. It's right on the edge, I think, because it's like 50%, like 51% and 49% or something like
and
that.
And that so proves out, like, you're right. I've seen 60-40, but I've seen it go both ways. So, you know, regardless, like, people are using that console both ways.
Yeah, for sure. It goes both ways.
Yeah. I think it makes sense that you potentially would have a master Switch, let's call it that, the main one that's your regular.
I like that. I like that.
What are we calling the regular
Switch? It's a good Zelda
now?
Reference, too.
Exactly.
I like it.
The master Switch. And then.
I don't have that one queued up.
Aw. Next time. But then I think, yeah, for like travel and all these other things, I mean, I have two kids. It would be nice, basically, to save.
You have
two
$200
kids? Bucks. Well, I have two kids that I
Wait.
I have three kids.
Yes, I know.
The little guy.
Two kids that game.
Two kids, yeah, that are gaming.
I guess
gaming.
It is accurate to say he has two kids.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty regularly.
I also have a third.
But there's something to be said about you can pair Joy-Cons to the device and all the rest of that stuff, which is good. But, yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably buy maybe one or two of those on account of the fact that I have a regular Switch still.
So I'm not super interested in playing games like The Witcher or, there's been other examples of games. Assassin's Creed is one that is fairly gimped in handheld mode. Mm. But then Nintendo's argument was like, well, you know, plug it into your TV and you're going to get this extra power. Like, I do wonder about that experience, like running at fairly low resolution, fairly bad frame rate issues in some of these games. Mm-hmm. So that might feel pretty bad in handheld mode. That's not the way I'm using the console.
Yeah. But I guess if it's for kids, they don't need to worry about playing Witcher 3.
And you can play Link's Awakening on your TV, and your kids could just be in the corner somewhere. Just the two of them,
just
though.
Somewhere.
Yeah, just not near you.
I forgot one of them existed.
I mean, I think this thing's really powerful. Like, Breath of the Wild, beautiful game,
yep.
HD quality, and to play that on a $200 handheld device, if you compare that to something like the, 3DS or whatever, like, that's a really, really impressive value proposition and piece of tech.
The 3DS launched at $250.
Mm.
So that's what I find a little bit crazy. So it's $199 launching, which is pretty good, but I keep thinking to myself, you can find the Switch on deals and bundled in and stuff like that. Regular Switch. Oh, dear God, what are we going to call this? So regular Switch.
Master Switch.
OG Switch.
You already coined
Master
it.
Master Switch. There you go.
I like that.
You can find the Master Switch there, probably for between, $250 and whatever.
Oh,
game
but it
deals,
never so. It never actually does go down to $250.
It's very rare.
But it may start.
But that's what I'm wondering. So at that point in time, do you think this is going to be a while before we see any price drop at all because of that reason?
Yeah, I do. I think instead of price dropping, this helps protect and preserve the $300 price of the bigger Switch, because now you have this cheaper way to get into the console ecosystem if you want.
Yeah. It does not have a kickstand, though.
Dude, oh my God, I just
got
back.
That?
Yes. I got back from vacation,
really?
And my kickstand is broken off my Switch.
It's the flimsiest thing. I'm surprised it survived anything.
So, okay, but I mean, it can snap back on, but I mean, do you...
Like, yeah, I left it on the airplane.
Oh. Well, it's not going to snap back on
A warning to the next guy?
Yeah. Well,
But I mean,
it's a whole thing. I don't even want to.
No. But for me, I think that was the one thing that. So now I think there'll probably be a lot of Switch kickstand accessories for that reason. I did play a lot where we would, bring four controllers somewhere, just flip the kickstand out, and then play it.
Like the commercial.
Yeah, like the commercial does. And so I thought that there would be at least the kickstand. Not a big deal. I think that, it'll just be another accessory
thing. Where does the SD card go in?
Like what?
I'm not sure.
Because it goes in behind the kickstand now.
Yeah,
I'll have to look at the photos
the
and see.
Yeah,
the Joy-Cons don't come off, so what would you need the kickstand for?
Because you can pair other Joy-Cons to that device. So you could actually use that one and still have a bunch of Joy-Cons.
That's actually a pretty good point. With no TV out, like, I don't mind the non-detachable Joy-Cons because, like, whatever, you're mostly playing in handheld mode. But now it makes it very, very hard for the Switch Lite to ever be a multiplayer console.
How often do you guys play multiplayer games on it?
But that's what CJ was just saying.
Yeah, I play lots of Smash Brothers and
so
lots
then you
of...
use your Master Switch.
Use the Master Switch with the detached Joy-Cons.
That's,
you got a ton of Joy-Cons already, typically, if you're a Switch owner, right?
That's one angle that I actually hadn't considered, is that local multiplayer is almost impossible on that thing, unless you're kind of awkwardly like setting it up somewhere to look
it.
At. Yeah. With no TV out, no kickstand.
I saw a tweet by Chris Kohler, and he had said something like, for all the people who are like concerned about the lack of a rumble feature and the kickstand and the detachable Joy-Con so you can like do all this stuff, Nintendo just announced that they have a perfect console for you. It's called the Switch, and it's $100 more expensive.
Yeah.
Like, it exists. You can just do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, one of the things that it isn't compatible with is Nintendo Labo.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's not going to fit in there, which is interesting because...
Which is pretty kid-friendly.
Yeah, that's intended for kids. The Switch Lite is intended for kids. It's just kind of an odd choice from Nintendo, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Labo stuff, was designed with Joy-Cons removed in hand. So, it's odd that... Yeah.
Maybe the Labo stuff just isn't performing well. I don't really know.
They don't... Maybe. Well, they did release the VR kit.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah, so does it not work with Labo at all? Or what if you take a different set? I mean, we'll have to test this when we get one in the office, but like take a set of Joy-Con and pair them with the Switch Lite you know, and have that setting there as a screen, and then put those Labo in the, put those Joy-Con in the Labo. Like, I don't know what'll happen.
Yeah.
Theoretically, it works.
Yeah. I mean, some of the Labos specifically, yeah, like I was saying, fit the screen.
The ones that don't use the screen.
Yeah, the ones that don't do it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, assuming if the Joy-Cons do pair and have Rumble and all the rest of those functionality, it should, but maybe it's not, doesn't even load.
They basically said it's anything where you have to have where you have to have it specifically in a docked mode for whatever reason, like perspective, most likely.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So theoretically, it would work for Labo if you could just connect the Joy-Cons. We'll but see. I think they explicitly said that it does not.
Damon, did you say the screen's a small bit smaller?
It's a little bit smaller. It's 5.5 inches. I think the Master Switch is like 6.2, 6.3.
That's actually fairly significant. I mean, that's 15% more, less big.
Yeah.
I almost said more smaller.
We knew what you meant.
Because the Switch screen, like I kind of hope that they would go the opposite direction, because there's a fairly large bezel around the Switch screen. Mm-hmm. So there was an opportunity, I'm really shocked they didn't do this, to shrink the form factor of the console, but actually make the screen the same size, or make it bigger by making it edge to edge.
Yeah.
To not do that's kind of a bummer, but you know, it is $200.
Isn't that part of the reason why the battery life is a little bit higher as well?
That's a good point.
I don't know which one I prefer though, more battery life and bigger screen.
I play in handheld mode exclusively, and the screen's fairly cramped.
It is, that's true.
See,
depending on the game.
I have a feeling that I would still probably, because if I didn't have kids, I would still buy the Master Switch. But I can see myself wanting to save the $100 for the sake of basically you buy two of them and you save $200.
It's like the iPad that you buy for your kids.
You buy 10 of them, you save $1,000.
No, my point is, I realistically will probably need to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, you know, I'd rather for the sake of portability, because, they play it mostly in portable mode, but I like playing it on the TV.
Well, I imagine it's the equivalent of, like, now that my brothers are having kids, like, they have their own iPad, and it has, like, their own cases and whatever else, and then there's a really, like, goofy kid case around the kid iPad.
That's what we do.
So, I feel like that's going to be the Nintendo Switch Lite.
That's true. Maybe they'll make those huge, like, foam cases
that
don't obstruct the button somehow.
Yeah. If you buy 10, you save 1,000.
You stole that joke.
It's just simple math.
Just made that joke. Right,
this is a slight tangent. I was visiting family on vacation, and there's triplets in my family. They're boys, and so I always like getting this perspective on how old are they now? Eight, nine. They don't know. They've never seen a Nintendo Switch. Don't know what it is. They're like, "What is that, Uncle Justin?" Mm-hmm. And then they also have no familiarity with Mario at all.
Yeah,
like, they're only into like Fortnite.
Yep, and probably Minecraft.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Minecraft missed my family, but most 8-year-olds, you know, are doing Minecraft. Minecraft, Fortnite, and they're like, "Do you play Fortnite? What Fortnite skins do you have? Blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you playing? I'm playing this Mario game, and then they just don't.
Aw.
That's weird.
Sad.
Yeah. Sorry, you said doing Minecraft. It sounded like a hard drug.
Isn't it?
It is sort of a gateway.
Doing Minecraft.
You start out with the Minecraft.
Check out that Minecraft, bro.
And then you end up on the Terraria.
And then in another 2 years, you're just like in your basement playing Factorio. Everything's horrible.
No, I don't think my 7-year-old niece has any understanding of Mario or anything.
Yeah.
And I was at Target the other day in like the book section, and there was some like Super Mario activity books, and I was like, maybe I should just pick that up for her, so she actually can like get some sort of frame
of
reference.
So weird.
It is true. The other interesting thing about kids is I've learned they come at franchises and things like, you know, video games and Star Wars in these odd directions. Like my daughters are too young to watch a Star Wars movie, but they have Star Wars shirts and books, and they have like, they know who Chewbacca is because they have these plush toys, even though they haven't seen any films or cartoons. And so,
well, what about things like Mario Run or Dr. Mario World?
Yeah,
recently?
Exactly.
Because it's a mobile game, so
like
maybe
Mario 1 being one button is actually pretty interesting. Maybe I'll see. I'm gonna do an experiment on my daughter. Mm.
The best kind. Report back
on the gaming kind of experiment.
The best kind.
Results.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about the Switch Lite for now is that while I do understand what Nintendo's doing, trying to reach a different younger demographic, it's not special.
Yeah.
Like, the Nintendo Switch is really special in that you can play it on your TV and take it on the go. Mm. You can play the latest Legend of Zelda game on a plane or at home, and that's really special. But now it's just another Nintendo handheld.
Which is weird. I feel like Nintendo does this to themselves every few years, where there was the Wii and then the Wii U, and it was kind of different but the same. And then the 3DS, and then it was the 2D, but without the S. So even now, it's like, it's the Switch that doesn't switch, but it's light. So, I mean, it feels like it was inevitable for this to happen, but you obviously wonder if there's going to be a revamp of Master Switch anytime.
Well, they've had such a good track record with naming their consoles and their handhelds that, you know, why not just keep with it?
I mean, it does put the you know Game Boy and DS line in an interesting spot. Yeah. Like it was sort of a big question mark of like the Switch operated in this hybrid space, you know, sometimes handheld, sometimes consoles. So it's like it left the door open for like maybe there will be a new Game Boy or a new DS, and now it sort of seems to shut that door that had been open a little bit. Where it's like, nah, like but. Like, that's why, like, the DS, we don't talk about it very much. It's not like a hardcore gaming device that's, like, top of mind for IGN. But that thing makes millions of dollars every single year for Nintendo still. So to go from, like, a two-console line company to one is, like, pretty interesting and, I don't know, risky.
Yeah.
Maybe just the smartphone stuff will replace what would have been, you know, on a Game Boy.
Well, what have been DS sales overall for the consoles and the games? Like, do you have those stats?
It's through the roof. It's like the best-selling console of all time.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Not the 3DS, but the DS and the 3DS.
But even currently? Like, currently, what does it do?
I don't know about 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. I'm sure sales have
dwindled. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are hardly any new releases for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if Pokemon, you know, the Switch has been super popular for Nintendo. I think it's like 34 million units sold since 2017. So,
but now we have a mainline Pokemon game console for the first time. But it's handheld, right?
Buy a Switch to play it. So, yeah, we'll see if that moves some units this fall. Let's move on, but stick with Nintendo.
Oh. Is that, what
it's
is that,
very
Super
low
Mario
in my
Land?
It's very low in my headphones. I hope it's louder on the recording.
we'll figure it out.
It was very unceremonious.
That was Wrecking Crew, and that's one of the two new games that's being added to Nintendo Switch Online NES service. What's the actual name for that?
No one knows. Yeah.
Wrecking Crew and Donkey Kong 3 are the games, which are interesting choices.
The big two.
Yeah,
they call that the big two. These are two games that I actually like.
Donkey Kong 3 is good.
I'm sure they're not super popular, but Wrecking Crew was like a launched NES game that I had. And just like it was one of like two or three games that I had when I got my NES as a kid, so I just played it forever. But it's a Mario game.
Yeah,
that you play as Mario.
That and Urban Champion. Where's Sam?
Well, Urban Champion's not a Mario game.
No, I know, but it was an early launch game.
It is an early launch game.
Yeah,
and then Donkey Kong 3 is like a really weird Donkey Kong game where Mario's not in it.
Yep.
It's Stanley, I think. Stanley the Bug Sprayer.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Donkey Kong's just like in his greenhouse.
Yep.
And so he has to shoot bug spray up Donkey Kong's butt.
Yep.
To get him just like, he's just like shoo. He's just shooing him out. So the stakes are really weird. Donkey Kong hasn't kidnapped anyone.
He's just minding his business.
He's just showed up in this guy's greenhouse and he's just shooing him out of it by spraying him with bug spray.
Jumping up.
I had a Game & Watch of that. I never had that.
Is it the same sort of mechanics?
Similar.
Yeah. But then there's a new feature that they're adding to that service. Now you can they added Rewind.
That's great.
Oh, awesome.
It's the best way to enjoy all those old games.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. I mean, people chatted me last time when I was mentioning I was using save states. And I mean, it's more or less what you kind of need to do with some of those old games, you know, especially in those later levels. Like Ninja Gaiden, the shirt that you're wearing, notoriously one of the most difficult games of all time in that last, you know, few boss phases, like three bosses.
But if you can just rewind.
There you go. Please be kind.
That's the answer.
That is.
That's the win button.
Yep.
I feel like they're running out of NES games for that service.
I mean, they're not, because there's over 700 officially released NES games.
Well, they're only doing first party, right?
Not all of these are first party.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? They could go on for a lot longer, I think. I don't know what their plan is, though. I think people are not super excited about,
but when you start adding features like Rewind, though, to me that's an actual functionality change. Like even we were talking about the Castlevania, what's the official thing called that was released? Was it just a collection?
Anniversary collection.
The Anniversary Collection. That's awesome, but you know, to have the ability, like save states do add functionality, but Rewind is awesome. Hmm. Like that's super cool. So it's a nice little way to you know, have something.
There's also like special versions of the games where they're remixed a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. The 8-bit generation is challenging for me. That's what I grew up with, but I find it harder to go back to than 16-bit.
Like, I finally just subscribed to Nintendo Online because of Mario Maker 2.
Same.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, cool, I'll check out the NES games. You know, like firing up like Solomon's Key. You know, like, ooh.
That's exactly what I did.
This is not, doesn't control well. This is just clunky.
Yeah. You and I went through the exact same experience. I'm like, subscribe for Mario Maker. Oh, I guess I'll check out this library of NES games. And I'm like, well, I don't actually care.
It's like Donkey Kong 3 is a really like interesting game. If it were just a virtual console game that costs like $5, I'd be like, you can probably skip that.
Nah.
But it's going to be free on your Switch, so you might as well check it out.
Yeah.
Shoot the bug spray off Donkey Kong's butt for a few minutes and you'll have a good old time.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN.
As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm sorry it's so quiet.
There it is.
Is this
Oh, it's good. This is an intro. Yeah, we got first off.
This is the opening cutscene. It's the duel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump up. Quick legs.
I never played that game when I was little.
Is that on the NES online service?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think it's only Nintendo games. I'm trying to think about what third-party games are on there.
Like, was it Solomon's on the
Key
NES Classic?
A Nintendo game? It is on the NES Classic. Which we'll talk about a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Lloyd did. Lloyd says, a sweet deal came up in my hometown for a Nintendo Switch. After a few weeks of listening to the podcast and hearing all the praise GameScoop has given the console, I decided to jump on it. This is really the first Nintendo console I have owned. Mm. The Switch came with Breath of the Wild. I totally get it now. Coming from twitchy first-person shooters and arcadey racers, I didn't think the Switch would be a good fit for me, considering its game library. While I still very much enjoy my PSP and Vita, I think I will switch over to this console as my traveling and camping companion as soon as my copy of Doom comes in. Are there any sweet indie titles that would complement Breath of the Wild and Doom nicely? Other than Mario Kart, are there any fun racers on the platform? Mm. I was bummed out to learn there aren't any Need for Speed games available yet.
I mean, I'm playing Crash Team Racing a lot.
I was going to say Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled, and then Team Sonic Racing is also good. Also supposed to be good.
Indies. I've played a lot of them. Here's the problem with whenever someone writes in and asks, like, can you recommend any games? The moment that happens, every video game I've ever played leaves my mind.
Well, I may have written down a list.
Yeah? What would you recommend?
Well, how many of these do you want to hear? Well, it's totally off the top of my head.
Right.
Like, the longer the list gets, the less useful it becomes. So maybe just like
the highlights. Well, that's...
Yeah, those are some really good ones. Katana Zero is a recent game,
which I've been
trumpeting on the show. Stylish action platformer, super, super fun.
Yeah.
Inside is one of my favorite games of all time.
Of all time, absolutely. Same here.
Mine
also.
Amazing cinematic.
Crazy ending.
Platformer, won't spoil anything. Only like a 5-hour-ish game, too.
So don't Google it too much.
Blow that one. Blow
just
that
play
one.
It.
Yep.
Just
play
trust.
Inside.
Yes.
Also, my friend Pedro, I haven't gotten to play that one yet, but I think you have.
Yeah. It's really hard to pull off like the really cool moves, but when you get into a flow with it, it feels so good.
That game looks super cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. If you, the gameplay videos, like, take it with a grain of salt, because whoever's playing it like does it really, really well. Yeah. So it looks way cooler than when you're going to start out. But then, yeah, you get there.
Yeah.
How's it?
Oxenfree. That's another one I haven't played.
Oh, you
love Oxenfree?
You played it recently, right?
I can't speak to the Switch port, but yeah, it was a great, it was like some of the most well-written teenagers in the game.
Mm. Yep.
It's more of an adventure game? Is that
very.
The category?
But like super mysterious and creepy in a cool way with dialogue options. Yeah.
Mark of the Ninja is very good. That's from Clay, who Justin and I were just talking about earlier today. They have a new game out. Mark of the Ninja is a stealth ninja action game. It's great. Bastion is super good. Overhead action RPG with a really cool narrator mechanic, really cool music. Cuphead, of course, is out there now, and that could be good for your Twitch, for a Twitch shooting gamer.
I just downloaded and am loving Graveyard Keeper, where it's like Stardew Valley, where except instead of managing sort of a pastoral, peaceful farm, you're running a graveyard and you have to bury these bodies and like take their body parts out and perform autopsies on them. But it's not like it's done in like a very cartoony, like it's got a sense of humor about the whole thing. And it's really cool.
That a graveyard keeper game that takes itself deadly seriously would be interesting.
Yeah, you almost need the humor to
lighten it.
We'll shout out a couple more. Super Meat Boy, one of the classic Xbox Live arcade games. Yeah, it's out on Switch.
Damn,
are
we buy that on Switch? I didn't even know that.
You have to say this one.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Super Meat Boy is a super difficult but fun twitchy platformer shooter, or not a shooter, but platforming game. And then Yoku's Island Express is like a pinball Metroidvania game.
I really like
Yoku's Island playing that last year, and that's really fun. I will also add SteamWorld Dig 2, another Metroidvania game.
I put this one on its own because I think I'm the only person who doesn't like
You don't like it?
Night in the Woods.
Night in the Woods. I actually haven't played
it. I didn't really like it.
That one didn't do it for you.
Yeah, no, it's like trying to be Oxenfree, but not quite as great writing, and the pacing wasn't as good, even though like the characters are all cute animals, so you would think so. But
I remember seeing that at PAX when it released. Artistically, it's a super cool game, though.
Yeah, artistically super cool. Yeah. Really neat. And apparently, I didn't finish it, but apparently when you get really in the depths of it, it like reveals some interesting teenage-y stuff, too.
Yep.
Well, that should be enough to get you started on your next camping trip, Lloyd.
Oh, we've heard that screen lots.
This is Tiff in Warner Robins, Georgia. She says, I've recently started gaming, and my long-distance boyfriend was so excited that we started playing games online, such as Far Cry 5, Far Cry New Dawn, Borderlands 1 and 2. Ooh. The better I get at playing, the more we seem to fight in game, and a lot of times we end up just getting frustrated and having to stop for the night. Sometimes we bicker about who gets the loot, because in Borderlands 1... not everyone gets the same loot. Do you guys play games with your SO? If so, how do you handle the in-game spats where driving each other insane?
No.
Why are they arguing while they're gaming?
Interesting question. Well, I mean, maybe just play Borderlands 3 because you share loot in 3.
Yeah.
And then
3
also
will solve that problem.
Portal 2 is some of the... I can kind of get the conflict thing, like if someone's lagging behind or not getting something, like... If you've played Destiny and done raids with your friends, like if you've ever played Destiny, do you know this game?
I might a little.
You know, but like there's a ton of bickering that goes on in certain raid groups because it's a lot of like clashing skills, but also clashing personalities. I don't know if you're familiar
with my life, Dina. Keep going. Just keep going.
But something like Portal 2, the cooperation is just so symbiotic and feels so good when you pull it off that it makes you feel better. I can't imagine bickering going down with Portal 2.
Well, yeah, maybe you need something that's a little bit lower stakes. I'm going to go back to Stardew Valley, which added multiplayer in a patch. And that's like, what are you going to get mad about? That they planted a tree in a spot you didn't like?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well,
we didn't want cabbages. Kind of a farm do you think this is?
Yeah. CJ, you play a lot of games with your SO, Fran Mirabella III.
Oh.
A lot of Destiny.
Nicely done.
You guys make it work.
Did Destin. office spouse. No, it's one of those things where, truth be told, so it's funny because Destin and Fran and I, while working at the office years ago, actually didn't play Destiny together often for that reason. Because it was just one of these things where, like, Fran has an audience, Destin has an audience. I do, but I'm kind of Mr. Low-key. I've ever had an interaction with those guys when they're arguing or disagreeing about something, but I can just literally sit there and just kind of back away slowly, and they don't even notice I'm gone, and they're just like disagreeing with each other. So I understand that philosophy, but I actually don't play games mostly with my wife for kind of that reason. Just was like, you know, we operate very differently. And I know some people really enjoy that, but I think that, yeah, they're playing the wrong games. I think you might want to find games that...
Like more collaborative. Like
yeah, that are collaborative and less competitive. Because my wife is crazy competitive as well when she plays games. And that's... I'm kind of glad we don't play those games, because when we play card games and stuff like that...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
Yeah, maybe you need to play more like the Snipper Clips game, like the cuter part of your games, you know? Absolutely. Yeah.
It's interesting that stuff that you can be goofy with. The conflict ramped up as she was, you know, getting better at games and getting more into them, because in my household it was kind of the opposite. Like, I'm the gamer and my wife's not, but, you know, I drag her along and we play some stuff sometimes, and then it's challenging for both of us because there's a big gap in the skill level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's a little bit frustrated by that, and I'm a little bit frustrated by that.
Because she's better at games than you.
She's the pro.
Savage.
She has played a lot more Skyrim than you, is that right?
And not more, but not she more, did but beat Skyrim. Gotcha. So yeah, to hear that once her skill levels became more equal, that's when the problem started, is unique to me.
It could be different play styles. Like, someone could be more of a Leroy Jenkins type, and someone else is like, no, I want to plan this stuff out.
Yeah.
I only know Leroy Jenkins because I play Hearthstone. That's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
It's a card in Hearthstone.
Yeah. Not the clip.
Leroy. I think he should let her pick the loot.
Yeah. Oh, that's, there you go. I mean,
that's
she's
your
like
solution.
Fairly new to gaming. Like,
yeah,
come on.
That's true.
Boyfriend
give her the moment.
Her
that's
absolutely
smart, Damon. Oh man, you just listen to this guy right here.
Good advice, right there.
Happy wife.
My wife, and then play Borderlands 3, and don't
happy
worry about it.
Girlfriend. That's what they go say.
Yeah. The one game my wife and I were equal in skill at was Bust a Move.
Ooh.
So we were, you know, we were very, that's a head-to-head game, though.
Yeah, we were very evenly matched, and so we would settle arguments with it.
Mm. Oh, nice.
If Sam were here, he would say, play pinball, because you just take turns, and it's totally fine.
That's true, yeah. I mean, even thinking of Mario and other multiplayer games like that, super frustrating. Yeah. Never play, like, Mario Deluxe, the four-player side-scrolling ones. Oh, my gosh.
You didn't go into a bubble. Oh, dear God.
I've said this on Scoop before. Never in my life have I had an experience where, like, I didn't actually want the thing I thought I wanted, where my whole life, so I'm like, why do we have to take turns in Mario? Why can't we just go through the level together? And then you get it, and then you're just in each other's way and jumping off each other's head, and you're like, this isn't fun at all.
Just throwing each other
I'm
in
not
a
like
hole
the star of the game anymore.
Yeah,
I think 3D World did it better.
Yeah,
3D World handled it
I don't know that I played multiplayer in 3D World,
I don't think there's like any antagonism, and you can actually, if someone's having a hard time, one character can pick them up and carry them
but
through.
But you control them with that too.
But less so, because
like when I was playing with my wife, I wasn't trying to grief her that way.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because in a 2D space, you're kind of in that controlled environment, killing each other and stepping on each other's heads. And
Tiff says, P.S. love your podcast. I've been listening for a year or so, and you've made gaming much less intimidating for a newbie like myself.
Oh, awesome.
I would like that's to hear great. So I would like to hear more if Tiff's playing more games by herself.
Yeah.
What sort of games she's
ditch your boyfriend.
Yeah. You don't need
that garbage.
Around to play games. Whoa. Go adventuring by yourself.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't play. Pick wrong button.
Act 2.
Twist of Fate. This is Drew. Says, I write in asking for your guidance. As we all know, it's easier buying games than it is finding time to play them.
True.
A year or so ago, I excitedly bought an NES and Super NES Classic, but they quickly got lost in the shuffle of new releases. Ooh. Never got the full attention they deserve. However, my wife will soon be traveling for a bit, and while she's away, all I want to do is lounge around and experience the classic Nintendo games I've missed out on. So according to the Scoop Crew, what Nintendo classic games, excluding Mario titles, are essential to play and would be the best use of my time? I don't mind a good challenge or using IGN guides to help me move me along. And he's included the list here in case we need a refresher on what's
that's
included
sweet
there. Yeah.
I know the games.
But let's see. Yeah,
Earthbound.
Earthbound is in the SNES collection.
Link to the Past.
Also
greatest game of all time.
I mean, SNES has Link to the Past.
It's a better game list.
Super Mario World.
Super Metroid.
Like,
the trilogy.
It's unbelievable.
Super Mario Kart.
Yeah. Also, Yoshi's Island. And I would also throw in...
Star Fox.
I would skip Star Fox myself. Okay. I was going to say Super Punch-Out.
Oh, Super Punch-Out, also really good. Yeah, really good. Star Fox was a difficult game. Like, I've heard people say that about Super Mario Racing as well for like Mario Kart for the 16-bit. I actually really like Mode 7, but for the people who are getting back into it, if they haven't played it, it's a bit awkward to do.
It's pretty tough. Like, I have nostalgia for Super Mario Kart and F-Zero, but if you didn't experience those games when they were contemporary, I don't know how much you would enjoy them.
I went back to F-Zero recently, and I liked it. Okay. It's fun. It's cool
for checking out the Mode 7 effects that they use.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the time, it was amazing. Loved it.
I mean, I'm a little biased, but like, yeah, Link to the Past, Mario World. Like, I can't imagine going back, having never played those games and playing them now today.
Oh. They hold up really well.
They do. There's friends of mine that are Genesis friends versus Super Nintendo friends. Yeah, and I cannot imagine having only played Sonic or Genesis titles and never playing Super Nintendo.
Dude, the people that are Genesis fanboys just don't know any better.
I mean, that's true.
But seriously, which Aladdin game?
On Genesis. Genesis, absolutely. Yeah. That's the true. Capcom one for Super Nintendo just did not play right. And it didn't look really that great either.
Yeah. And then over on the NES Classic, the games that hold up, I think, Ninja Gaiden.
Yes.
I think it's
absolutely.
You can skip them all.
Oh, stop that.
No. Mega Man 2 is a stone cold classic that's on there.
Yeah. I actually think the original Final Fantasy is really good.
Yeah.
It's a huge RPG. It's totally playable. It's like everything that you would expect in a JRPG is kind of in there.
Yeah.
Music's actually really good. Yeah. It establishes a lot of the Final Fantasy themes and motifs that have carried on for 30 years now.
Yeah.
I think Double Dragon 2 was a super fun brawler. That's
Double
totally
Dragon
playable
is,
and
is
not
really
super
good.
Not super difficult.
I played River City Ransom recently.
That one's really good.
Fun. It's not on the list, but
that one's hard though.
That one's on the NES Online.
Well, I love speedrunning that one.
Oh yeah.
Just like run the hell through everything, like kill no one.
Love that all those characters were like soccer and then,
it's a frat boy's turf.
Yeah. So good though.
Well, Drew, let us know how your bachelor weekend with NES and SNES classics go.
I vote long RPGs.
Yeah.
Called Earthbound.
It is good.
Earthbound, and then Super Mario RPG is also on the SNES classic.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 3/6.
Yes. Man, the SNES classic is
crazy.
So good. It's got Donkey Kong Country on it, too.
Yes.
Oh, also, man. I don't know when the last time I said duh was, but
today. 10 years.
Mark it.
Yep. All right, that brings us to video game 20 questions.
Oh, I love this music. It's so good.
I knew I could please CJ to the music this week. Our suggestion this week comes from Jerry Davis II in Avon, Indiana. It says, greetings, Omega Cops. I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 months now. I've been thoroughly enjoyed. CJ said it's
Jackie. We have no idea what the audio mix is.
I know, maybe it's too loud. I'll fade it out.
Fix it out,
just in case. It's Jerry Davis II in Avon, Indiana. He says, I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 months now. Thoroughly enjoyed every podcast so far. My 20 questions suggestion is my favorite. Redacted.
But that's already a clue.
I feel like that is a clue.
Mm-hmm. Now we know it's good.
Oh. Exactly. Well, I was going to say.
Jerry's a big old dummy.
People, you know how many like terrible game suggestions I get, and they're like, I played this forever when I was a kid. I love it.
That's a Sam question usually. It's like, was this rated positively by us?
So I feel now we know.
Well, you'll lean in that
direction.
Well, I mean,
again, it's a personal experience question.
Was this game, was this game originally released on a cartridge?
A cartridge? No.
Ooh.
So my feeling towards the clue was, is this part of a series?
No.
Because they said my favorite.
Hmm.
But that clearly was
not
right.
It is not part of a series.
Interesting. One and done. Yeah.
I feel like we're probably post-2010, maybe.
Ask it.
Why?
Only because cartridge. Like a lot of that cartridge stuff. I mean, sorry. Before 2010?
Was it released before 2010?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So there, we're in that like probably 10-year window between 2000 and 2010.
Was this game released on the PS2 and GameCube and Xbox generation?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. PS2, GameCube, Xbox. So OG Xbox, right?
Is it platform exclusive?
It is, yes.
Ooh.
That's okay. Five.
There we
exclusive
go.
One-off.
Genre?
I want to know the platform.
I want to know the platform.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do it.
Is this on an Xbox platform?
Yes.
Ooh, Xbox exclusive.
There we go.
Could be Fusion Frenzy.
Yeah.
Could have.
OG Xbox.
OG Xbox, but not part of a franchise. Ooh. And, I don't want to get too hung up on Jerry saying it's his favorite something.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, that implies it's not a bad game.
Yeah. Fusion Frenzy.
That was a pretty bad game. Could be Blinks the Time Cat. Oh. Time Sweeper.
Jet Set. If we do platform now.
Yeah, there's two Jet Sets.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be Crimson Skies.
It could be Crimson Skies. Yeah, I was going to say Flying Game.
Was this game have online multiplayer in it?
No.
Ooh.
It's not Crimson Skies.
Out.
I don't know if Fusion Frenzy was online. It definitely had local multiplayer.
Do you play in the first person perspective?
No.
Okay.
Hmm.
So maybe an action game? What?
It could still be Fusion Frenzy.
Could be.
Want to test it?
What would be the good question there?
I don't know.
Is it did we?
Yeah.
Was this
game pretty early? Yeah.
Was this game developed? Was this game developed or published by Microsoft?
Yes. Developed or published by Microsoft. Oh, what was
there was.
See, Sam's question at this juncture is usually: is the studio still around?
Yeah, or even because we don't know if it's a platformer or RPG.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there. It's not first person though, so it's probably third.
The other one they made before
Halo,
or like yeah,
Oni.
Oni. That's right.
Yeah, was it? Did that release on Xbox?
Yeah,
I can't remember if it's PC or.
It was on Xbox.
Was it on Xbox?
I think so.
But I don't think they were. I think the Halo was their main exclusive at the time. But
can we dial a friend, Ryan McCaffrey?
Exactly, or Sam. Sam will get the.
He's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
Would this game commonly be compared to like Mario Party? Would people call it like it's a fairly similar to Mario Party?
No.
Okay, it's not Fusion Frenzy.
Okay, that's 10. So you asked if it was a first-person shooter. So
no, I said first-person perspective.
Oh, okay.
So that actually that eliminated like Morrowind too, which I know was on PC, but it was only on Xbox for consoles.
But exclusive.
Not part of a franchise.
And not part of a franchise. Yeah, that's the part where...
Not Crimson Skies.
And not Crimson Skies.
But it was published by Microsoft. Like, we should be able to get there.
Yeah, we should be.
We have a lot of clues to go off of
already.
What
else did they make?
I feel like I need to know a genre to know what we're talking about.
I'm trying to think. I mean, that was like my generation, too, when I was really, you know, really paying really close attention to games.
Yeah. Third person would be...
Yeah. Like an action game, maybe? Yeah. Or, do you shoot guns in...
Oh, no. I was going to say DOA, but those were all... those are all franchises.
Yeah. Do you shoot weapons?
You can use range attacks.
Interesting. So is this more of an RPG then? Ranged attacks? Maybe you can say, can you choose a character?
You know, there's a few Xbox games that are coming to my mind, and they are like third-person platform action games. And now...
Yeah, like there is... I'm trying to think about which ones Microsoft made.
Yeah.
Like they made Conquer, but that's part of a franchise. And that was actually... Mm-hmm. That was later. That was 360, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything but franchises right now.
And they made, and there is Blinks.
Yeah. Well, should we ask if it's a third, like an action, like a 3D action platformer? Was it a 3D action platformer game?
3D action platformer.
Yeah. Like, because platformers didn't really exist in 3D, like the way that we.
What are you talking about?
Well,
what about Mario 64?
That's what I'm trying to think. What else would be like that on the Xbox, though?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of anything.
Otogi?
You want to ask that question?
I mean. I don't know.
Is it? It's not a platformer. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
So like they had Project Gotham Racing. Like I'm trying to think about other genres. Like did they have sports?
But those something? All had sequels.
Yeah. But I'm just I'm trying to like get away from.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get back to something like that.
Well, we know that it's ranged attacks though, so it can't be any of those. Yeah.
Because Gotham had Gotham 1 and 2, Need for Speed. Those were all.
They didn't do a kart racer, did they?
No. I don't think so. No. Oop. And then Ghost Recon and all that stuff. Those were multi-platforms.
Those are Ubisoft
and franchises and Ubisoft.
Fable. I had 1, 2, and 3.
Nope. Yep.
Oh man, there's a couple games that I can see on the back of the Xbox because I owned three of them.
What was the name of that?
Broke.
Was it I think it was Square Enix did like you know Beatdown or whatever it was called. What was the really bad one? What was the really really bad fighting game? Brutal something. Remember it was horrible.
Brutally horrible.
No.
Bodyguard.
What was it called?
I know it, but I can't help you.
Yeah. For the record.
That's gone.
Yeah. Oh, this, I don't know.
I don't know what else to ask.
You have eight questions left.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We can still narrow down the genre. We gotta get a few more to be.
Yeah.
But there's games right now that in my head, I can see them, but I can't remember their names. So I'm not gonna be much help.
Do you get to choose your character?
Yes.
Okay. So it's got to be an RPG of some kind.
Or a fighting game or something.
Fair. Yeah, fair. Was there a one-off fighting game?
Yeah.
Made by Microsoft?
Yeah. There was. Published by them. We don't know. Was it developed by Microsoft Game Studios?
No.
So it was just published by Microsoft?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
So we're either fighting game or RPG.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Is it a fighting game? Else?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so it's an RPG.
Oh, no.
I mean,
should we confirm that it's an RPG?
I guess. I mean, yeah. Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew it, guys.
Wait. So there was very, very few RPGs on the original Xbox. Like Xbox 360 had Blue Dragon. Is it a Western RPG?
It's a Western made RPG.
When did Wet come out? Was Wet an RPG? No.
Yeah.
WRPG is on the OG Xbox?
I'm blanking on an RPG scene. Because all I can think of is Fable and a couple other ones that were really popular.
Yeah, I mean, the game had a reputation. It got completely trounced by the PS2, which was, you know, the RPG machine. But there must have been some Xbox exclusive where they were like, ah ha ha.
Yeah.
And Microsoft published it, and they kept trying again with Blue Dragon.
Well, it couldn't have been that successful if they didn't turn it into a franchise.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
It's like a cult classic kind of hit.
Oh, God. I can already tell I'm going to be mad when.
Yeah.
Me
too. Yeah.
How many we got left?
Four.
Oh, boy.
Well, no, three.
Three.
Three. Oh. Well, we got to save for the hack. Have we mentioned?
Could be a. Is it helpful to know if it's like fantasy or sci-fi?
No,
or?
I think it might be helpful to say if we've mentioned it yet. I think we can use the hack
that
question.
That should be the second to last.
But we've barely named any.
That's the problem.
That's fair.
And I don't know of any. Not for the Xbox. I know of everything.
Would you say
not.
Fantasy like context stuff?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think about how to use our questions wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Like knowing the type of RPG or knowing, like they published it but didn't develop it. So it's like.
So throw out any Xbox RPGs right now that we know.
I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Me either. And there would all
it's
be
a wasteland
sequels.
In there.
Yeah. They're all sequels or they're all games.
Is it a. You can choose your character.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So could it be like a strategy RPG? Like a tactics RPG? Like a Disgaea type situation? But. Not Disgaea.
I mean, can you think of one that was a one-off?
I mean, I played a lot of games in that era. I don't remember what console they were on. I played Damon, what's the one where...
Exactly.
What, La Pucelle Tactics? Did you ever play that one?
I don't think I played that one.
You probably, it was by the Disgaea team, I think. I don't know. I don't have it. Was this game developed in Japan?
No.
I guess I
didn't. Didn't you already ask that?
I'll take that back.
You already knew that it's a Western game.
Yeah.
We're clearly out of ideas. Just repeating
is
questions.
Is this game open world?
It's not. No, it's not. It wouldn't be called like an open world game, I don't think.
Open world RPG, so it's not like Skyrim.
And you asked if it was multiplayer, right? And you said no.
Yeah. Or there's online multiplayer was a question.
I see.
The answer is no.
So it's not right. Fantasy
you
style
online. You have a question and a guess.
The only thing, I mean, like Oblivion and Morrowind and all those were considered like part of a franchise.
It's Elder Scrolls, yeah.
Well, but it, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
is
it's
it?
Part of a franchise. And there was even like two worlds.
That's the only.
Oh, man, he's smiling.
He's smiling.
Well, I want
he's
to say
smiling.
Is you guys haven't used the hack yet.
But here's
have we mentioned the game yet?
Have you mentioned the game yet?
No.
Oh, God damn it, Damon. That, why would you?
No, it's like it's something you haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
It's a Microsoft published RPG that was exclusive to Xbox.
Here's what's tripping
made
me
in
up.
The West.
It's Western made, but it's not open world. And like when people are talking about like WRPGs, like Western RPGs, those are typically open world RPGs. So it's some Western made linear-ish. RPG?
Big areas, but you have to travel to each one.
I know I we're all going to know this and just...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you
I'm
can
really
tell that Damon's
already.
Frustrated we haven't gotten it.
Should I reveal the game? Is it over? You're not going to get to hear the victory music? I've closed
no!
the laptop.
I want to hear the Ninja Gaiden victory music. I mean, just can we guess anything? I mean,
I don't know. We're at one more left, so I think that's all we can do.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wish we would have gotten to. I mean, it's too late now. Yeah. But when we had like six questions left, we should have found out more about the developer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Microsoft published it, but didn't develop it, and so I feel like we probably could have gotten there if we found out it was.
I think if you knew the developer, you could guess it.
Oh, could it be that? What was the Sega game that Obsidian made about spies? What was that game called? Oh, Damon just closed. You son of a bitch. Was that game exclusive to Xbox? Do you know the game
Doesn't
I'm talking
matter.
About?
I don't know the game you're talking about.
Okay.
It's a cult classic.
That. Let's just leave.
Yeah.
All right.
Fail.
This game is a part of a very elite group of games that received a 9.9 from IGN.
Oh, it's Jade Empire.
Do we get it?
It is Jade Empire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, made by BioWare.
Made by BioWare.
Yeah, that was dumb.
See,
that was dumb.
That, between that and Mass Effect, my brain was not thinking Jade Empire.
I kept circling around Mass Effect, which clearly it's not.
Right.
Yes.
No. That's what they made instead of making KOTOR 2.
Oh, that's right.
Jade Empire, which is a game I actually have never played.
I've never beaten it.
9.9.
Really, yeah.
In the history of IGN, there are only 4 other games received a 9.9, and they are Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tony Hawk 2.
Mm. That's crazy. Yeah.
Majora's Mask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Advance Wars.
That's like the most. Yeah. It's such a high score. It's a game that we clearly love, but it's still kind of a fuck you.
So that's the thing. Like, at the time when that game was released, it felt like it came out of nowhere. Hmm. And then it disappeared.
And then disappeared.
A bunch of people were like, oh, man. That was part of that whole BioWare magic still. Like, you know, let's just make it, and then it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So, I cannot believe we didn't guess that game.
Jade Empire.
Mad at myself.
From BioWare. 2005.
RIP.
That game.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll remaster it or make it someday, and I'll
check it
out. It's on iOS. It's on PC and stuff.
Oh, everybody's shouting at us. Absolutely.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Lots of people knew that when it happened.
Well,
I hear it in the headphones.
Start their own podcast.
It's like a static sound.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the suggestion, Jerry Davis II and Avon.
No thanks.
Kind of.
Indiana. If you, listeners, viewers, have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me, gamescoop@ign.com. That's the first GameScoop in our new studio.
Yeah.
Hook, fingers crossed, it went okay, and we can actually publish this, and people can hear it.
We'll see it.
Yeah.
And remember, if there's anything wrong, it's at Gibson Film.
All my fault. Yeah, Justin, low confidence.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, CJ.
My
name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.